From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with the latest. Juneau's police chief was honored with an award for public service at the 2021 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. Ed Mercer is Tlingit of the Raven Coho clan, and he's the city's first Alaska Native police chief. He's been with the Juneau Police Department for more than 20 years and has been the chief since 2017. KTOO's Lindsay Brolini talked with Mercer about his career and some of the changes that have happened in policing during that time.
So why did you get into public service and law enforcement?
I'm not able to say that, you know, as a young child, I dreamed of being a police officer. This is something I think I grew into, and it was a calling, and certainly has worked out great in my career, and it's been enjoyable and rewarding.
Why is it important to have Native police officers?
There's not a lot of minorities in law enforcement. That's just a fact. Why I think it's so important, especially in our community, is that people who see people in police officers in minority groups, they could relate. And, you know, one thing I have never lost is my understanding of my culture and where I came from and who I am and how I relate with many of the Alaska Natives across our region and across our state.
Another thing I wanted to get into was how has policing changed in your tenure in law enforcement? I think there's been a lot of change, especially in the past couple of years.
But I would say one of the biggest things that I've seen the change, and it started when I was actually a field officer, recording our contacts out in the public. But since then, now we have police officers out there that are wearing body-worn cameras. I can't think of too many other professions or fields where somebody has to wear a camera all the time. But we recognize the importance of that for transparency and trust and on what we're doing out there in serving the public and our contacts, how we're treating people. One change, I think, is just more awareness with dealing with people who have addiction and mental health issues. Is there a better way? Back when I worked on the street, we didn't have as many options and referrals. I think if you committed a crime, if an individual was addicted to drugs or was suffering from mental illness and they committed a crime, they'd go to jail. Now I think we're trying to find avenues that are better, that will better serve that individual so they don't continue to go down the road they're going down and give them the help they needed.
I just remember going to that vigil for George Floyd here, and I saw like a couple of police officers there like attending it. So I guess did that movement impact JPD at all, that nationwide movement after George Floyd's murder?
I thought it was very important for the Juneau Police Department to attend these events for what you talked about, for support and saying that we as a police department and how we police and how we treat our citizens, we don't condone excessive use of force. And it speaks volumes when you're standing up there with the people that are trying to say they don't condone this type of behavior from their police across the country. You know, being able to stand there with other members of the community and show support is important so that they feel confident and comfortable within their police department that this can't or will not happen in our community. So that was a pretty significant event.
You know, what's something that you're proud of that you've done in your career?
As a chief, you know, you're only as good as the staff that you have and the people that go out there every day. People see our police officers out there every single day doing their job. And you have to have great personnel to go out there and serve the community day in, day out and do a good job. The expectation is to do a good job and serve the community. And I'm proud of this agency and the personnel that work here at the police department that show up, and we have a mission to go out there and make our community, help make our community safer.
Yeah, thanks so much for meeting with me and for talking about, career changes that have happened.
Yeah, thank you for reaching out.
Well, 8 decades after the fact, the federal government plans to clean up a contaminated former Army site on an island near Sitka. Fort Babcock was designed to be a keystone in the defense of Sitka Harbor. In the 1930s, the harbor hosted a significant military presence to counter a rising military threat from Imperial Japan. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, its legacy today is little more than abandoned buildings and contaminated soil near the shores of Sitka Sound.
Few people in Sitka know as much about the area's military history as high school teacher Matt Hunter.
I kind of have a passion for local history and really got into World War II stuff back in middle school.
He says in the 1930s, after Imperial Japan invaded its neighbors, the United States realized it had few Pacific defenses outside of Hawaii and the Panama Canal Zone.
But Alaska, sort of the third vertex of a strategic triangle, was completely undefended.
Military planners went to work to change that. Naval air stations in Kodiak, Dutch Harbor, and Sitka were rapidly developed. Defense of those naval bases fell to the Army, which installed a battery of guns capable of striking an enemy ship from 12 miles away. But as the tide of the war shifted, the threat from Imperial Japan receded, and by 1944, the military canceled the defense project.
And they just polished up the work that was right next to town. And then as soon as they finished, they abandoned them and locked the doors and left.
Today, the site is heavily overgrown. But among the ruins, there's still evidence of the incredible effort by thousands of men.
There's even some notes on some of the workbenches, and they're written by the men who are in the construction battalion.
One member of that battalion came back for a visit more than a decade ago.
That's just like MacArthur wading ashore. MacArthur said, "I shall return." I didn't like that guy, though.
93-year-old Bob Vollmer returned with his family to Kruzhov Island in the summer of 2010.
This is a neat place. Spooky.
KCAW's Ed Ronco shadowed him and filed a story about the Indiana man who'd spent most of 1943 helping build Fort Babcock.
I've been dreaming about this for years and years and years. I really didn't think I'd ever get back here.
Vollmer passed away earlier this month at the age of 104. But in the interview he gave to KCAW more than 11 years ago, he expressed surprise by how much nature had taken over what had been a bustling observation post during the war.
And I'm real happy to know, like places like this, they're still environmentally sound.
But Fort Babcock is not as pristine as it may have appeared to Vollmer in 2010. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is tasked with cleaning up former military sites, discovered serious contamination about 2 or 3 years later. Beth Astley is the Army Corps' project manager, overseeing cleanup of the site. She says investigators knew about the old oil tanks, but in 2012 and 2013, they dug deeper.
That's when we discovered there was PCB contamination at the former power plant.
In a document filed last summer, the Army Corps announced plans to remove about 559 cubic yards of PCB-contaminated soil and place them in what Astley calls super sacks,
which are large sacks that are specially made to hold contaminated soil. And then those bags would then be put onto a barge, and then they would be taken to a port and then to the landfill.
In the lower 48. There aren't any places in Alaska that accept PCBs, which are carcinogenic and will bioaccumulate in the body. Sitka Tribe of Alaska has been pushing for the cleanup of Shoals Point. People hunt, fish, and gather traditional foods on Kruzhov Island, just a skiff ride across the sound from Sitka.
The tribe is pleased that the Army Corps is going forward with cleaning up the site because it's long overdue.
That's Helen Dangle. She works in natural resources for the tribal government. She says the Army Corps' plan is to address the most hazardous waste at the former Fort Babcock site.
But that doesn't mean that all of the contaminants will be cleaned up. In the document, there's a lot of talk about cleanup levels and if there's a complete pathway to humans through air, through drinking water, through skin contact or through eating. And so if they determine that there's not a complete pathway, then some of the contaminants aren't getting cleaned up.
The Army Corps says it plans to remediate the area to residential standards. and no additional environmental monitoring would be required. The Army Corps is still designing the $2.2 million effort. Actual work and removal of the PCB-contaminated soils isn't expected until 2024. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.